Today's scripture is found in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And we continue, of course, to follow the life of David, this being one of the more dramatic accounts of David's young life after he is anointed as the king of Israel by Samuel. Hear God's word. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Easy for him to say. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. And I add one more verse. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Shall we pray? Guide us, O God, by your word and by your spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth we may find freedom, and in your will we may discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even though you may have heard me tell this story before, I think it's worth another telling. Three rough-looking fellows on motorcycles pull up to a highway cafe. Inside, they find only a waitress, a cook, and one little guy, a truck driver, at the counter having his lunch. The motorcyclists were angry because a truck driver had cut them off several miles back on the interstate. So they decided to take out their revenge on this innocent man having lunch alone in the diner. They grabbed his food, they threw it on the ground, they called him all kinds of nasty names and insulted him. The truck driver quietly got up from his seat, paid for his food, and walked out. Unhappy they didn't succeed in provoking the man to a fight, one motorcyclist said to the waitress, "He sure wasn't much of a man, was he?" And the waitress says, "I guess not." Then looking out the window, she said, "I guess he's not much of a truck driver either. Before pulling out of the parking lot, he ran over 3 motorcycles." We love stories where the little guy gets the best of the big guy. For most of our lives, we feel small in comparison to things and forces around us, like the government or large corporations and systems which dominate us. For example, we feel there's little that can be done about rising gas prices. And why does it always happen this time of year that gas prices go up when people are on the road? But I have a friend who has a solution to that. What he's told me he does is when he goes to the grocery store or the mall or wherever there's a large parking area, he pulls in and he parks in the very first parking space he finds. And then he walks to the store and he increases the length of his life by doing something healthy, walking more that day, and he doesn't care about rising gas prices because he's conserving his gasoline. It's not a solution, an entire solution, but it's something to do, and he's doing it. The story of David and Goliath is the story of a little person who faces a giant, and he decides that he's going to do something. He's not sure what he's going to do. Goliath, after all, was said to be 9 feet 9 inches tall. No one in the NBA comes close to that. He was a great warrior, heavily armed and dangerous. He was leader of the Philistines, an oppressive group who destroyed the coastal towns of Israel and gradually moved inland, taking over everything in their path. On the other hand, David is a mere shepherd. His only weapon is his trusty slingshot. And all the ammunition he had was 5 small stones. Interesting then that he had 4 stones left over. He didn't need all 5. And I think God had something to do with that. David knocks the giant to the ground and kills him. The Israelite army was freed of the evil menace. Story's a classic. The underdog destroys an enemy much larger. He was stronger, more heavily armed, mean-spirited, but in the end, David is victorious, who was small, weaker, had virtually no armor. Because he prevailed, the nation of Israel now had new hope. Their faith in God was restored, and the Philistine giant Goliath was eliminated. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever had an experience when it seems so complicated and so difficult that you just didn't know where to begin? What is the very first step that you can take to address this situation? You feel helpless, and there are times when we're simply not up to the task. The story of David and Goliath provides a model for us when it comes to facing the kind of gigantic problems that we have in life. And there are several ways that it suggests we deal with them. Here's the first one I suggest. David used a slingshot and 1 small stone to slay Goliath, a simple, crude weapon to bring down a heavily armored giant. Even though he took 5 stones with him, 1 shot to the forehead was all that was needed. 5 minus 4, 1 stone. It was simple. One time in Queens, New York, a woman was screaming out the window of her apartment on the 8th floor because she was trapped in her bathroom. The knob on the inside of her bathroom door had fallen off, and she had small children in her apartment who now didn't know where their mother was, and she couldn't get to them. And not only that, she had food cooking on top of the stove in the kitchen. She was a panic, so she went to the bathroom window and yelled down the street, where a young man who was visiting a friend in the neighborhood heard her cries. He waved at her and told her that he would help her. And a few minutes later, she heard this young man's voice at her bathroom door. She was a little stunned, a little shocked to hear him, but he said, "Listen, put your fingers in the hole where the knob should be, pull it up, lift the door slightly, and quickly open the door." It worked. She was free. She was out of the bathroom, and she went to check on her children to make sure they were safe. After she had comforted them, she returned to the young man and asked him, "How could you possibly have known how I could get out of my bathroom with no doorknob on the door?" And he said with a smile, "I was born here. I lived in this apartment for 15 years of my young life. I knew how to get in the front door without a key, and I knew how to get out of the bathroom without a doorknob because I had done it many times when we lived here." We never know the smallest skill or the smallest gesture that may help someone in their time of need. We only need to use the skills we have acquired along the way and, of course, use our heads. That's the first thing this story teaches us. The second thing is that David rejected Saul's offer of wearing his armor. It's much too heavy. It would have been a handicap, not a help. So David had to be himself. He was the shepherd boy that God made him to be. And he came and he used his skills as a shepherd boy who could sling rocks with a slingshot. Keith Wagner writes, "When Hugh Downs retired, his last job was the television program 2020 with ABC. His career included The Tonight Show, included the TV show Concentration." Maybe some of you older folk remember that. I certainly don't, right? I have no clue what that show was about. But he started in a little radio station in Western Ohio, WLOK. It was a small town radio station, 100 watts, and he was determined to make it in the big time. So what he did when he began to work there is he focused his attention on creating kind of a pear-shaped baritone voice as he broadcast, and he attempted to make a voice that was appealing that people would listen to. Well, it didn't work quite so well. So the manager of the station came to him one day and he said to him, "Listen, Hugh, why don't you just be the person you are, the nice fellow from a small Ohio town, and let it happen the way it's going to happen." Well, that's all that was needed to launch a successful television career. Giant ambitions are fulfilled and giant goals are reached when we simply be who we are. That's the second thing about this story. The third thing is that David was a man of faith. He trusted in God. He said to King Saul, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." I think David actually believed that God was with him, that God would help him to prevail over this much, much larger enemy. Max Anders, in his book titled simply God, points out that in the 1940 version of The Mark of Zorro, there's a remarkable chase scene where Zorro's fleeing Spanish soldiers in the middle of the night, racing at breakneck speed through woods, over creeks, along narrow paths. Zorro is finally cornered on the bridge, suspended about 20 feet over a river. And in a really remarkable stunt, Anders says, Zorro, or his stuntman, of course, in the movie, leaps over the 4-foot bridge into the water 20 feet below with his horse, and he stays on his horse, and they swim down the river and make their escape. Fantastic scene from The Mark of Zorro. Well, how did that happen? How in the world did that stunt rider get that horse to jump over that railing into the black water below? Well, the secret is the rider never asked the horse to do something which would hurt him, would injure him. And so they do some very small stunts that might seem dangerous, but the horse doesn't get hurt. So the trainer graduates and brings the horse up to doing harder and harder stunts until finally he was ready to jump over the 4-foot railing of a bridge into the water 20 feet below. That's all it took, was trust in the trainer so that the horse would do what the trainer asked. David trusted in God more than we can imagine. David trusted God enough that he, a small shepherd boy, could confront a 9-foot-9-inch giant of a man who was a killing machine. All the giants of life can be overcome when we take small steps and when we trust the one who goes with us. Some time ago, I visited a woman in an intensive care unit. Her condition was critical. She was hooked up to all kinds of support machines. She had wires going everywhere. There was little I could do to help her except to visit her and pray with her. Perhaps that was a very little thing, but it was what I could do. It's what I knew how to do after 35 years of doing it. And so I did it. Ryan Kelly, the pastor who wrote the little study guide we're using for the sermon chat after sermons this summer, writes, "While David's famous battle with the Philistine giant is what we might remember the most from this passage, it is described very briefly. Three speeches given by David provide the interpretive key." And I think Ryan Kelly is exactly right. Pay attention in this story to what David has to say before he meets Goliath on the field of battle. Pay attention to what David has to say just before he defeats the Philistine giant. Here's what he says. So I'll close the sermon with the closing words of David's final speech. "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you over into our hands." The battle is the Lord's. We do not fight alone. We do not face our gigantic problems alone. The battle is the Lord's. Amen.